Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We're going to talk about our identity crisis. And the fact is, if we look at Ephesians is divided into two sections. The first three chapters are focusing on who we are in Christ. And if you think about it, Paul is writing, this letter is his doctrinal letter. In fact, more than all the other letters, we see what in Ephesians, it's not focusing on a particular group or a particular situation. This is a general letter, and it was to be passed around. And he's targeting the most important thing that Paul wants to let us know is who we are in Christ, our position in Christ. And so we see this statement, in Christ, or in God, and in heavenly places, all throughout the book of Ephesians. And so he's trying to let us know that this is the most important thing. You know, some of us really, I kind of wonder if we really know who we are. Let's just jump right in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 1. And I underlined a word here. And if we could all just read this together. Ready? Join me. 1, 2, 3. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, as we looked last week, several of our oldest texts that we have of the book of Ephesians actually doesn't have the word Ephesus here. Basically, it says to the saints who are faithful in Christ. And so we know that, it was brought by Tychicus, and he passed this letter around the region. It went from church to church, from home church to home church. And so, the important thing is that Paul is identifying these individuals as saints. And I kind of wonder if we correctly identify who we are. Now, I know we live in a day and age where identity, that's the hot topic word right now. Okay, that's the hot topic word. What I want to tell you is what God says about us is more important than what we say or think about ourselves. Hello? Is this on today? Okay. And so we have to say, he says to the saints. Now, how many of you this morning, you got up, you brushed your teeth, you looked in the mirror, and you said, I'm a saint? How many of you? Nobody? Nobody? Yeah. How many of you got up and you looked in the mirror and you said, I'm just an ain't? Forget the saint part, I'm just an ain't. You know, but most of the time, if I would say, who are you? Or describe me, describe yourself to me. Most of you, I don't think your first adjective, your first thing that you would say about yourself is, I'm a saint. You know, more than likely we'd say, I'm this or I'm that, or we'd think about what we do. We think about, well, I'm a mother, or I'm a father, or I'm a sister, or I'm a brother, or I'm a student, or I work here, or I'm a prison guard, or I am a business owner. We would say all these other things. And yet the Apostle Paul is writing, he's kind of letting us know, even through the generations, that the most important title that we should understand of who we are is that we are a saint. And now when we think of the word saint, we kind of have this Roman Catholic tradition thing that speaks to us. We think a saint is some person, who is dead and they lived a good life and they can go back and they, have these 10 tests that they scrutinize a person. Then if they pass all those tests, then we call them a saint. Or a saint is somebody who has a festival or a building named after them, like St. Patrick's or, whatever we have. So no. What the Bible refers to as a saint is not kind of what we in our modern culture would call a saint. And so I want to take us back to this understanding of what a saint is. You know, a saint is a holy one. is somebody who is pure, is sacred, who is set apart, who is blameless. And so if we take that definition and we look in the mirror, most of us still are going to say, I don't feel like a saint. How many feel like I'd struggle to call myself a saint? I want your hand to raise if you think I struggle calling myself a saint. Good. So I'm talking to the correct people in the room today. That means we have an identity crisis. Because God calls us one thing. He does not call us a saint because of what we do or how squeaky clean we can make ourselves. He calls us a saint for different reasons. And so we begin. Point number one for all of us today is we all had an identity crisis. And probably a lot of us still have an identity crisis. We struggle understanding who we really are. And again, that is now in our society today. This is the watchword. This is the buzzword. Everyone's really struggling about identity. And what's sad is most people are trying to identify themselves. And if we understand through Scripture something completely different. You see, we are either in Adam or in Christ. And I want to break that down for us. Because you have two choices about who you are. Your truest identity, you're only one of two things. You are either in Adam or you are in Christ. There's no third option. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. And let me kind of break that down. We are all, by default, we're born into Adam. We are born into Adam. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Let me kind of break this down for you as Paul is writing. He says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. So there's a lot of words there, is basically letting us know we're born into Adam. Has anybody here sinned? Yeah, all right, we're all on board for that one. As I've told you umpteen times, I never had to teach my children to disobey. I never did. I myself never had to learn to disobey. It came quite naturally. Anybody else? And you've heard me say this analogy before. When you got your church directory, or if you guys ever had a yearbook, who's the first page that you turn to? Yourself. Right? If you got the new church directory, you opened it up, I guarantee you, the first thing you look at, what's my picture look like? Right? Any of us, we go through things. If you know that there's a newspaper, you're going to go through and see about what affects you first. We all have this inherent thing inside of us. We have this thing, this nature that we were born into. And I find it interesting here that the sin was even in the world before the law. If you think about what we call, if you ask the rank and file ordinary person, what is sin? They'll say, well, breaking the Ten Commandments. Well, was there sin before the Ten Commandments? Yes. There was sin all the way back from mankind. We were born into this Adam, into this sin nature. And because of that, we have an identity crisis. We have a problem. It means we're imperfect. And how can imperfect people dwell with a pure and perfect and holy God? Paul is beginning to tackle this big issue because it is at the core of everything else. You see, Phil had a great little thing that he shared this morning. Because a lot of us, we focus on God when we mess up. We try to bring balance into ourselves. You know what? I've had a rough week, so I better, you know, here's my response to having a rough week. Maybe I stumbled, maybe I fell. I need to get back into church. Come on now. You know what? I kind of got a little out of hand. So if I go to church, that'll make it okay. Oh, you know what? Maybe I should go find a good deed. I better find something to do because I really dropped it last week. And I'll feel a lot better if I can make up for that. Come on, somebody. That is Adam. That is being in Adam. If you look at Adam, Adam sinned. He disobeyed God. And what did he do? He hid himself in his works. He had a job that was to tend the garden. And the presence of God came. Instead of running to the presence of God, he hid himself in his works. He hid himself in his job. And all of us, there's something inside of us when we're in Adam, we like to default to the what we do or what we're supposed to be doing, and somehow that'll balance it out. You can't balance your life equation out yourself. And I like to say today that just because the majority of people think something does not make it true. Truth is not defined by what the majority of people think. I will remind you that years and years and years ago, the majority of people thought that the earth was flat. Right? And yet the Bible said it was a sphere that was hung in nothingness, in emptiness. The Bible is more true than the fullness of popular thought. So what does Paul go on to say? So we have this identity crisis. We struggle with who we are. We try to balance ourselves out. We say, I have a problem. If I can do good things, or if I can address these things in my own abilities, somehow I'm going to achieve this balance. And it doesn't work. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Paul says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. In other words, we were trying to control our own destiny. We were being led by our passions. We were being led by something outside of God, outside of the Holy Spirit. That's part of being in Adam. You know, it's easy to lose your temper. How many of you had a chance to lose your temper this week? Yeah. I'm not going to ask how many lost it. Did you find it after you lost it? Yeah. I mean, it happens. We have things that happen. We have things that try to pull us out. We have this thing inside of us because there's this Adam, but we've only got two seats. We're either in Adam or we're in Christ. And even though we have faith in Christ, there's a wrestle in our mind because we are struggling accepting this identity. That's why we can't look in the mirror and say with full confidence, I'm a saint. And I say that not because I feel it. I say it by faith. Not because of how good I am, but because of how perfect Christ was. And if I begin to understand and embrace who I am in Christ, it changes everything out. It changes everything else. You see, too often the church tries to teach you, oh, if you act good and if you act right, then eventually you're going to earn God's favor. And that is just crazy. You can't earn God's favor any more than he loves you. You can't earn God's love any more than he already loves you. He gave everything. And yet we constantly want to replace it. We have an identity crisis. All of those in Adam have an identity crisis. And this crisis is bringing you to something, and it's Christ. Our identity crisis brings us, which is point two. And this is the good news. Christ identified with us. Now hang on for a minute. Because this is important. Christ identified with us. In other words, he came, he became a man, he was fully God and fully human, which just, if you ponder that enough, he went through the whole gamut of human experience. He walked a perfect life. He understands what it's like to have all of that stuff. He understands what it's like to be tempted. He understands what it's like to go through everything that we went through. And he identified with us for a reason. 1 Corinthians, Paul begins to write and he tells us, for as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Dropping down to verse 45. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural. And then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, in other words, just as we were born in Adam, we also shall bear the image of the man in heaven. In other words, there's an invitation extended to us to somehow go from being in Adam to being in something else, which is in Christ. This is an amazing thing, and it's not based on our effort. Our identity was in a crisis because we were bearing the image of the first, and thus we were heirs to death. And now, we were separated from God's presence. We were unclean, but that's not what we're called now. So what happened? Jesus identified with us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. And this is great news, everybody. This is great news. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. Because what does it tell us? First of all, that God is merciful, that He's got a great love for us, and that we were messed up. And while we were messed up, we didn't go after God. God came after us. And because of He loved us, and because of this wonderful grace, we have been saved. In verse 6, and He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let me pause for a second. When I was a little kid, I'm getting ready to plan a vacation to go out. We're heading to Annapolis in a few weeks. Eli's got a running camp there, and we're going to kind of take a look at the area. And I saw the name of this one place that I vacationed as a little kid. And I thought, well, how nostalgic. You know, maybe I could examine that. And I remember that my dad used to drive, get this, a Ford Galaxy 500. Anybody know what a Ford Galaxy 500 is? Okay, you're older than me then. Okay, so a Ford Galaxy, and it said, you know, according to the title, it said black Ford Galaxy 500. But in true, if you looked at it, it was more rust colored because there was nothing, and you'd shut the door and big chunks would just fall down. And there was nothing, and it had a white bench vinyl seat. And my dad was taking me down. We lived on this little place in Washington, New Jersey. And he was taking me to a Dairy Ripple type of place, a little ice cream place. And he drove kind of fast. And we were driving around this corner. And I'll never forget, because it was fun to ride in that car because you'd slide on the seats. And so I was sitting in the middle. And he took this turn. And I slid and the door flew open. And out I went. You're laughing. What is wrong with you? I just said he was driving fast. Pray for that guy. Roger, everybody take your hands, stretch them towards Roger. Hang on here. All right, here. You're sick. Wow. You know who your friends are. He's like, now that explains a few things, Pastor Michael. Yeah, we get this. All right. The story gets better, Roger, so I'm sorry to disappoint you. All of a sudden, this big meat hook comes out. I remember looking down and seeing gravel. And all of a sudden, all I felt was this on the back of my shirt. And in one fell swoop, I went from being outside thinking. Look, this is what was going through my mind. Vanilla or chocolate? Vanilla or chocolate? Vanilla or chocolate? Vanilla. Twist! Yeah! Ah! That's what's going through my mind. Pardon the squeaky voice. I mean, that's all I was thinking was I had no concept of how the imminent danger that I was in. Door flies open, out I go, bam. Dad's hand grabbed a hold of me, on the back of my shirt. In one swoop, I went from being outside to being on his lap. You know, this week as I read this verse, that's the image that came to my mind. See, each one of us, you know, our identity is just like that. Vanilla, chocolate, vanilla, chocolate. You say, oh, no, I'm not thinking vanilla, chocolate. You know what? You can fill in the blank. You know what? I'm thinking about this. Or, you know, college students, I'm thinking about this next engagement, this people in ministry. They're thinking about what they're doing in ministry. You know what? All that stuff is secondary. We miss the fact that our identity is not in what we do, not even in what we do for God. So many pastors and so many people in ministry, they miss it because they are so focused on what they're doing, they forget who they are. We become consumers. We worship the idol of consumerism. All we're focused on is, what do we do next? What are we supposed to buy? How do we get this? How do we acquire stuff? I'm tired of my stuff. Anybody else? I'm just tired of that. Because all of it seems to replace the one thing that's irreplaceable, is being seated with my Father. And I want to tell you, if you're in that place, the door's flying open and there's a hand that's reached down and he's sitting you in one fell swoop and you're seated with him in heavenly places. Verse 6, and he raised us up with him and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. If you've received Jesus Christ, if you trust him that he is your righteousness, I got good news for you today, brothers and sisters. You're here, but you're not just here. You are here and you are seated in heavenly places with Christ. He says, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, let's all read verse 8 and 9 together. Ready? For by grace you have been saved through faith. Okay, now let's all do it now. Let's all read it. 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. This is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We have a new identity in Christ. And that's great news. Brothers and sisters, he came and he took our place. He took our place. The penalty of our sin, he took it. He took it full upon himself. Why did he have to go through a torturous death? Why did he have to be spit on? Why did he have to be forsaken? Why did he have to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Man, those words, they always were like, what does that mean? Why is he saying these things? Because God had to turn his back on sin. Jesus became all. You know, we deserve a rejection of God because we, in our, thus Adam part, we rejected God. And now in Christ, he took that rejection and he offers us acceptance. And that is non-negotiable. He gives us a free gift of life, of eternity, that we have a new identity. So as much as you look in the mirror and you say, wow, I have all these faults. I have all these faults. I messed up here. And I'm not saying deny the fact. I'm not at all saying deny that we have issues. I'm saying this, process them correctly. The Holy Spirit convicts, Satan condemns. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Quit doing Satan's job for him. And the fact of the matter is, many of us focus on our weaknesses rather than focusing on Christ. And if we'd focus on who we are in Christ, it might begin to change some of the other things. Point number 3. This is all I want to get you to today, is embrace your identity. Embrace who God says you are. You know, if there was a message for the United States in 2016, maybe this would be right now the biggest thing that we have to struggle with. Is quit trying. Jesus tells us if you want to try to find yourself, you're going to have to lose yourself. In other words, this, what you think of yourself, it ain't going to do it. I can think that all day long. Who God makes me in him, that's where it's really at. And this is the message and Paul's doctrine that he starts with. Who we are in Christ. Not who we are in ourselves. Not who we think we are. Not who we want to be. But to being seated in heavenly places with Christ. 2:10-14. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in flesh by hands. Remember, This is to us. Hey, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. Everybody, you know what? Remember that one time you were separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise. You had no hope and without God in the world. Verse 13 is to us. Embrace your identity. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Praise God. You want to know when you look in the mirror? I totally get, because I'm the same way. I looked in the mirror this morning, I was like, red eye, weird, woof. And for just that moment, I said, you know what? You're a saint. Oh, I don't feel like a saint. Doesn't matter how you feel. It's what God calls you. And if I would accept that, maybe if I begin to accept the fact that that's what God calls me, maybe I could begin to allow that to transform me. Don't try to do things, and don't, like Phil said this morning, don't try to get your own balance. Be changed from the inside out. Embrace your identity in Christ. What is my identity? My identity is because Christ swapped positions with me. He swapped positions with me. He took my place in penalty, and now he gives me his place in reward. And that's staggering to my mind, because I don't deserve it. But the truth is, I am his. You see, most people think that they had a day of salvation, and that's great. I hope you remember the day that you initially were saved. But don't forget that that's a continual thing. You're continually being sanctified. You're continually working out your salvation. Each and every day, embrace it. You don't say, oh, I was saved back in 1975 on March 5th. That's the day of my salvation. And now, since then, no, I'm saved today. Each and every day I have a choice. I have a new identity in Christ. Far too many Christians have experiences with God. They live for the experience rather than understanding that each day is a walk of faith. Brothers and sisters, you have a new identity. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. Thanks be to God that we're in Christ, not because of anything that we do in and of ourselves, but what God did for us and that we freely receive by faith. Isn't that great news? That's great news. Let's stand to our feet. I invite you to stand to your feet for a moment. And I'd invite you to join me for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, for a new identity that we have. And to be honest, Lord, a lot of us are still struggling, and we're having identity crises. We're trying to figure out who we are. But God, don't let us stop on saying what we do. But Father, thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. Thank you that you have a calling for us, that you've called us. You let work out your good pleasure through our lives. We are yours. Lord, we are created in Christ to do good works. And God, I just pray that throughout this week, we would be mindful. Help us begin to identify with what you call us, not with what our experience tells us, not with what the world tells us, not comparing ourselves to other people. But God, help us drop all of that facade and embrace what it means to be yours. I pray a blessing on each person here today, Father. Those here in the room who don't know you as Savior and Lord, I pray, God, today that they would come to you by faith. I pray, God, for those who are in really difficult struggles in their life right now. Lord, bring balance through their identity in you. Bless us as we go from this place to carry your love and to carry your truths. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School on for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday School class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.